He's going to talk about his philosophy and how he uses the Bible to run his finances. And I'm telling you, this upcoming financial seminar might be the best thing for some of you just to learn how to budget your money, to learn these biblical principles of financial management. But that's this Saturday, if you want to sign up for it. I'm telling you, it's free, and I really believe it'll change your life. It'll definitely change your financial life. And what in the article it talks about how when Paul was in his late 30s and he had lost just about everything financially. His car was repossessed. He's facing foreclosure. He'd wake up in the middle of the night with stress and worry. And he decided at that time, you know what, I'm going to get this right and I'm going to follow God's word with my finances. And ever since that, he's lived within his means. Him and his wife, they're in agreement with their finances, and God has just done a marvelous thing. And they've got a great story to share. And they can help us because they're just, remember how we looked at a couple weeks ago, Elijah was just a man like us. Paul and Karen, they're just like us. You know, they're not writing these famous books yet, but they can relate to you, and they know what you're going through because they've been there themselves. So that's my commercial for that. All right. Last week we began looking at this prayer that was prayed by a man named Jabez, and we were looking at these last few weeks about living a blessed life, where we're asking God to really revive us and stretch us and enlarge our territories, and just if he would pour out his blessing on us. And if you'd like to open your Bibles right now to 1 Chronicles 4, it's just an incredible story. If you know anything about 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters, it's all genealogy. This person begat this person, this, you know, and it goes on. But all of a sudden, in chapter 4, the historian stops and he says a few words about Jabez, this man named Jabez, as if he was saying, you got to hear something about him. There's something that's remarkably different about Jabez. And his prayer tells us so many things, that God will indeed bless us and stretch us and enlarge our territories and protect us with his divine favor if we ask him. That's the key. It's ours to ask. And here's what the Bible says. In the midst of this genealogy, in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10, we have it up here. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And that word Jabez literally means he will cause pain. What a name, huh? Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And then the word says, and God granted his request. Last week we looked at these first two requests, and I just want to review them briefly here. The first one was, oh, that you would bless me. We looked last week at how a name in Hebrew culture, it meant everything. You know, some people were named Mighty Warrior, or they're named Deliverer, or they're meant, you know, Bringer of Peace, or Joyful One. And when you had a name, you would try to live up to that name. It's the same way today in Middle Eastern cultures. It's that way in my mom's culture in India. Your name means so much. Your name has power, they believe. We were just having dinner the other night at Coco's, and our waitress, her name was Clarice. And we're like, that's a fun name, Clarice. What does your name mean? You know, we don't know what our names mean today, because they don't have, for many people, for some people, yeah, they mean a lot, but they're just a name. In Bible times, a name meant everything. And you picture this poor guy, Jabez. He's got this name. He's going to cause pain. Hi, my name is Jabez. I'm a pain in the rear end. I mean, that's what people probably teased him all of his life. And for him, his future looked pretty bleak. It looked pretty dismal. Because, you know, in a culture where a name means everything, what a name to live up to. And Jabez looked beyond his name and looked to the God of Israel and said, oh, that you would bless me. Because he knew something about God. He knew God's track record. You know, being part of the whole Israelites at that time, they knew the history of God. They knew that God was powerful and mighty. They knew God's track record. It's like my son right now, John, he's 10 years old. He's a blues musician. He just plays this guitar all the time. And right now, he just recently wrote a song, and I guess he was playing it at school, and he was telling me, "Oh man, Dad, the girls just love this song I was playing for them." And he goes, "Dun dun dun dun, when I was young." It's a song he wrote. And here is his song. What are you talking about when you were young? You're 10 years old. Like what, when you were like 7? It just makes no, he has no history. And you can talk about when you're going to be old, but you can't be singing, "When I was young." Like it just does, it's bizarre. You got to have a little bit more history than just 10 years to write a song like that. Jabez knew God's history. He knew that God's history was just pregnant with miracle after miracle after intervention and divine intervention after divine intervention. And he goes to God and he says, "Lord, I've been destined to be a pain. I'm almost living under this curse. But please, Lord, bless me. And would you bless me a lot?" Now listen, you know God's track record also, right? You've got God's word. You've got your own testimony of God's faithfulness and God's providence over your life. And just as Jabez was born without a hope in a future, it would seem, maybe some of you feel this morning that the future looks uncertain or times look trying. Just want to tell you, Jabez, he recognized that he had no future. And he asked God to change his future, and God did. Because that's the greatness of the God that we serve. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in, how things might look bleak for you, my encouragement to you this morning is to start praying, "Oh Lord, would you bless me? Would you bless my marriage? Would you bless my education or my schooling? Would you put your blessing on my work? Everything I touch, Lord, would it be a blessing? Would you bless my children? Would you bless my finances? Oh, God of Israel, that you would bless me." Because it is ours for the asking. God wants us to ask because he wants to bless us. We looked last week at what blessing is. It's a supernatural favor that goes before you, that surrounds you. In Bible times, you're going to see that the word blessing has a lot of meaning because God enters covenant with his people and he wants to bless them as they obey his commands and his word. And God hasn't stopped wanting to bless his people. He wants to shower you with his blessing. And so that's the first request. "Lord, oh, that you would bless me." And then Jabez goes on and says, "Oh, that you would enlarge my territory." You know, expand. He must have looked at everything he had, his little, you know, carve of the tribes each got their own property. And he must have looked at it and said, "Lord, would you just take everything under my care and take it and enlarge it?" And I know that God, this is the kind of God we serve. He wants to enlarge our territories. It may be your influence. It may be your ministry. It may be whatever that God is speaking to you for your territory. He wants you to have the faith to believe that he's going to do it if you ask him for it. And I especially know that God wants to enlarge our influence and our territories in terms of influence over people's souls, because we know that God loves people. He loves people more than anything. And he's given us the authority, and he's given us the commission to make disciples. So then I know that when we pray, "Lord, oh, that you would enlarge my territory," I believe that he wants to enlarge your influence over people, so people can see that Jesus is the light for their darkness, that he is the hope of their salvation, because God wants all people to come to repentance. 1 Peter 3:9 says he wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And I ended my sermon last week with this challenge. And it was this: if the God of heaven loves you infinitely and he wants you in his presence every moment, and if he knows that heaven is a much better place for you, then why on earth has he left you here? It's a very great question for us to think about, because we know that God wants us in his presence. Why didn't he just zap, go to heaven? And I believe it's because he wants us moving out of our boundary lines, taking a new territory for him, reaching people in his name, being his vessels here on earth, As we await his return, God wants to enlarge our territories. And I pray that of our pathway of hope too. Lord, enlarge our territory. Enlarge our influence. Stretch us. Enlarge us. I want you to take a look around right now. You have to take a good look when you're here and just kind of take it in. Savor it. You know, when we set this whole thing up every week, you know, just take it in, because it's not always going to be like this. One day we're going to look back and we're going to think, but you know what? Those days were kind of fun setting up. I kind of miss getting up early and hitching the trailer. And no, you're not saying that right now. I know. No, some of you want to throw tomatoes at me. Amen. Take it in. Enjoy it right now. Enjoy it in retrospect, even though it hasn't happened yet. Because the Lord wants to enlarge our territory. He wants to move us out of our boundary lines. He wants us to be in a facility, I believe it, where we can have weekly ministries and have prayer and healing meetings and have a ministry of recovery. Whatever the Lord places on our hearts, a place for our women to meet, our men to meet, our children to meet during the week, our youth to meet. I know that that's part of God's plan for us. And I was just, this morning as we were setting up, I was just loving it, because I know, you know, I'm just not looking at the present. We can't look just at the present. We got to see the future. And someday we might be starting out in a storefront facility that we start out and then move to land and the building. You know, it's going to happen, because this is the way God works when we ask him to. I'm praying, Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory, enlarge the influence we have over lost people. Lord, those that are already saved, Lord, help us to equip them to be the saints that you've destined for them to be. Equip them to be disciples who walk in faith and trust and live by the Spirit. Enlarge our territory, Lord. And then the third request is this. You know, these first two things are great. Lord, bless me and enlarge my territory. I keep tripping over this, and I'm going to fall here pretty soon. Here we go. Nothing to see here. One day I'm going to have a great stage, you know, real carpet. It's going to be awesome. Okay. So when you're asking for God's blessing and for him to enlarge your territory, you really need his hand. And Jabez says, "Oh, that your hand would be with me." When he prays, "Oh, that your hand would be with me," it's not a lighthearted request. You know, for us, it almost sounds poetic. Lord, may we have your hand. You know, how Shakespearean, how nice. But in the Bible, the hand of the Lord, it's a biblical term for his power and his presence. When people ask for the hand of the Lord, or the Bible says the hand of the Lord was with them, it means they had God's divine supernatural power and his presence. I'm telling you, I need that over my life. You need that over your life. You need God's hand of protection, his hand of deliverance, his hand of power. Every day as we live this life, example is what happened for Joshua as he led the people into the promised land. We know that it was a miracle when God parted the Red Sea, but also when the Israelites crossed into the promised land, he made dry land for them through the Jordan River. And the Bible says in Joshua 4:24 that God did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. That's what the hand of the Lord is. The hand of the Lord is powerful. The same thing we see the hand of the Lord in Acts, where these ordinary men, the disciples, these ordinary people, sometimes lacking faith, sometimes just being kind of cuckoo, this bunch of ordinary people, they win multitudes and multitudes to the Lord under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the church, you know, they have unity and all these things that are happening. But Acts 11:21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." They were able to serve the way they did and to minister to the way they did because they had the hand of the Lord. They had his power and his presence. And when Jabez prayed for the hand of the Lord to be with them, he knew that what he was praying for God's blessing, for the Lord to enlarge his territory. He knew that living a blessed life, he was praying for something so big that he could not accomplish it without the hand of God. See what's going on there? He knew that the task ahead of him was so big that without God's supernatural power and presence, it might not come to fruition. And he says, oh, that your hand would be with me. And because all of us are asking for God's blessing, we're asking for God to enlarge our territory, we have to realize we can't do it ourselves. Lord, if you're going to enlarge my territory, if you're going to enlarge my thinking, if you're going to enlarge my possibilities, I need your hand. You know, today so many people, they might have a dream of going back to school and doing something, or doing something that is, you know, out of their comfort zone. And a lot of times they just stop because they're too afraid to do it. It's like, oh no, I can't take that risk. Or the God that we serve, the God that is with us, he will give you his supernatural power and his presence. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ. Not just a few things, not just things that are within your capacity. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. There's nothing that you can't do when you have the hand of the Lord with you. And I believe this morning, everybody, if you will sincerely pray this, you're going to see tremendous results in your life that can only be explained by the power of God. Those are the kind of results I want in my life. There's a lot of things I can do in my own strength. I don't want that. I want people to say, wow, God's hand of the hand of God is definitely with Pastor Johnny, because there's no way this could have been accomplished by human. You know, I want to live that blessed life. I want to live to where he's enlarging my territory and expanding my influence. Don't you want that for your life?
Yes.
To walk in that blessedness? We need the hand of God. We got to pray for it. Lord, give us your power, your presence, every day, every moment. I just don't want this Christianity to be a Sunday thing. I don't want it to be just a devotional thing. This has got to be daily, moment by moment. I want your power in my life. I want your presence. That's why I believe it's so important for us to live a lifestyle of fasting. You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, if you pray and fast. He says, when you fast, meaning that this is something that is ordinary for Christians. And I tell you, if you make fasting a lifestyle, you're going to feel his presence. You're going to have his presence because it puts you right in alignment with God. Well, there's two ways you can fast. I was talking to Chris this morning about it. You can fast and have it with the attitude of, oh, when am I going to eat? And you kind of get grumpy, and you kind of get, oh, okay, just, you know, and you were just kind of going through the motions. But when you really fast with that heart too, every time you have a hunger pain, you just cry out to the Lord, and you're just, you know, it puts you in his presence like nothing else will when you're hungry, you know. And that's why I think fasting is so important for us. But we need his presence, not just on Sundays. This is something that has to go with us on our normal daily lives. Amen. All right. So the last request here, it's almost like it's sequential here. We want his blessing and him to enlarge our territory and his hand, his power and his presence. But also, Jabez says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. We've got to pray this if we're going to live a blessed life. Jabez prayed that the Lord would keep him from evil, keep him from harm, because I believe he knew that this was a strategy for sustaining a blessed life. You see, when you begin saying, Lord, bless me and enlarge my territory, guess whose territory you begin to invade here? Someone else's territory. Yes, right. And we're talking about Satan. And I know firsthand experience that, man, as soon as you start walking in that blessed life, boy, those flaming arrows are going to hit you here and here and here. And, you know, you'll be under attack from the enemy. And that's why we got to pray, Lord, would you keep me from harm? Don't pray for a hedge of protection. That's not big enough. Don't pray for a hedge. Lord, I need your divine protection. Keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Ask for God's divine protection. He'll give it to you. And he gives us the tools too. He gives us the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. He gives us the belt of truth and the Word of God, the Spirit, which is our sword. He arms us for the battle that comes against us when we start really living in His blessing. But we know that God will do this for us. He will keep us from harm, and He'll even do this in the miraculous. I love story. You know, my mom and dad were missionaries to India, and I love stories of people on the mission field, because a lot of times they're just vivid reminders of the attack that the enemy has on individuals. And this is a true story about a missionary by the name of John Patton. He was a missionary to the Malaysian Islands in the South Pacific. And one night, hostile natives were surrounded. They surrounded his mission station, and they were intent on burning the home and Patton's family and killing them all. And so that night, Patton and his wife and children, they prayed all night long, "Lord, keep us from evil. Keep us from harm. Protect us. Give us your divine protection." They cried out to the Lord all night, "Lord, deliver us." The next night, when daylight came the next day, they were simply amazed that the attackers had left. In fact, the Pattons were never bothered again by any of these hostile natives. And it was about a year later when the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ and gave his heart to Jesus. And then they became, Patton and the chief tribe became friends. And remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept them that night from burning down that house and killing them. What was it that allowed you to not kill us and burn us and just ruin our lives, devastate us, destroy us? And the chief replied in surprise, "How could we? Who were all those men there that night? Where did they come from?" And Patton said, "There's no men out there. There was just us in the house." And amazement said, "Wait a second. There's no way. We and our men were afraid to attack because we've seen hundreds of big men in shining garments, with drawn swords circling the station all night long." He said they were just circling the station. That is the kind of divine protection God will give you. You got to believe it. I not only believe it, but I'm going to walk in faith for it, because I'm telling you, I need it. And so do you. We've got a God who is our protector. You know, and I'm praying this over my family. Lord, protect. I'm praying over my children. Lord, protect them. Keep them from evil, because I know the enemy wants a heyday with my children. Right? He does. He wants to trip them up and destroy them and confuse them and to have them serve in the world. Lord, I pray your divine protection. Every night when I pray for them, Lord, protect them. I prayed over your marriage. Prayed over your church, because God will do it. He's got the power to do it. He's got the ability, and he's got the desire. Lord, keep me from harm so that I will not be in pain. And just as Jabez believed these things for the blessed life, the largest territory, for God's hand to be with him, and for that divine protection, we know that he acted on it and he believed it. And we know that's called faith. We know that's calling a Holy Spirit life too. And that's the life that the Lord intends us to walk in. And I want to challenge you this morning, as we just get ready to close in a few minutes, to think about your own life this morning. How do you fit into this whole prayer that Jabez prayed? How can this become real and living and alive for you and your family and your ministry? Because I know that God wants to work in new ways in your life. He wants to work in new ways in my life. He wants to work in fresh and revigorating ways in the life of this church. We need to give God the room to work and to do it. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you right now, Lord, for, Lord, the faith that is rising up, Lord, in this body. I thank you, Lord, that we're beginning to see, Lord, the possibilities that we have, Lord, being servants of the Most High God. I thank you, Lord, that you want to shower us with your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you want to give us your supernatural favor. And I pray right now, Lord, for everyone here, Lord. Lord, would you bless us, Lord? Would you give us, Lord, your blessing? Would you enlarge our territories? And Lord, would your hand of your power and your presence, would your hand be with us, Lord? And we ask you, Lord, for protection from the evil one, Lord, who roams around like a lion seeking to devour, as 1 Peter 5:8 says. Lord, right now, we just look to you, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you in our lives every day, every moment. And so, Lord, we're yielding to you. We're surrendering to you, Lord, in this way. Lord, would you do your work in us, Lord, that you so long to do? Lord, we know that your plan for us is to give us the hope in a future, not to harm us. And so, Lord, we're asking for your blessing right now. We look to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask if we could have prayer teams up here. We're going to sing a song in closing, but I know that some of you are wanting just to have a brother or sister just agree with you in prayer for your life or for whatever it is going on in your circumstances. So Dick and Lynn, if you'd come up, and Randy and Elizabeth and Jonathan and Evelyn. Feel free to come up and pray anytime as we sing the song in closing. Amen. Let's sing. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Let's sing, it's the name above all names. It's the name above all names. Let's applaud his greatness, can we? Yes, Lord, you are great. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to keep these teams up here to pray for anything that's going on in your life. Please feel free to come up and pray. Hope you have a great day. Just keep on praying, right? Our challenge this last 4 weeks have been to pray every day, to fast and pray for a great revival to come on this church and to other Christian churches in Tucson. Also to commit ourselves to bringing others to church. We know it's part of our assignment from God is to help other people experience God's salvation. And also to commit ourselves to tithing, which we know Malachi 3 says that's a key to blessing as we give our first fruits to the Lord. So keep those things in your forefront, I'm asking you. And also to just ask God every day, Lord, would you bless me? Would you bless what I do today? Because God wants to do it in your life. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.